poet John Donne once wrote that no man is an island. Donne was stating a basic truth about life. That is, that human beings tend to do things not so well when we are isolated from others. We need community to thrive. That's certainly what the scriptures teach from Genesis to Revelation. And if we're in youth ministry, community is vital to our flourishing, both personally and in ministry. Youth workers who have run the youth ministry race effectively for a long time are always networked and are working with other youth workers. While we've encountered countless effective youth ministry networks globally, one that stands out is the long-standing youth network in Western Pennsylvania and the Pittsburgh area. What makes an effective youth ministry network, and how can we get ourselves networked? And what can we do together that makes us all more effective? We'll be talking to longtime Pittsburgh area networker Travis Deans about these questions and more on this episode of Youth Culture Matters.
From the Center for Parent Youth Understanding, this is Youth Culture Matters. If you're a parent, youth worker, educator, counselor, grandparent, or anyone else who cares about kids, we're glad you've joined us for this practical, informative, and hope-filled podcast. This is a place where together we talk and think Christianly about the rapidly changing world of today's children, teens, and young adults.
Well, these are the times when on our podcast, I wish we were allowed to play any kind of music at all because there were so many good summertime songs. I'm thinking about summertime and the living is easy, but we're not allowed to do that. So all we can do is think about these songs in our head. But Chris, it's summertime and
it's finally here.
Yeah, I'm not sure that the living is really easy, maybe a little bit easier than other times, but I know that summertime's a great time to catch up on things, and one of the things that Lisa and I like to do, since we have a little more time together, I'm not traveling as much, is we binge watch. Do you binge watch?
Of course, I binge watch.
Yeah. So, man, I think about how the nature, just culturally, of television viewing has changed since I was a kid. There was no such thing as binge watching. There was fighting over the television that didn't have a remote and it only had four stations, you know, and you'd...
Well, my kids don't have any idea of, like, having to be at the TV at a certain time to watch something. That concept is completely lost on them. They don't understand it.
Yeah. And this is one time where I think, you know, arguments could be made for, were the yesteryears better than today? And I would say, as someone who likes to watch, well, no, because I've got more choices now. Now, the problem is the mix of choices is pretty dismal at times. But
that's true.
Lisa and I have taken up this habit of binge watching. Do you and Beth do that? Like in the summertime, do you binge watch anything? Or?
Yeah, we definitely binge watch. I don't know if it's more concentrated during the summertime or not. So there's certain shows, because of just the when they air and when they're released, whether it be on Netflix or network TV or whatever it be, certain shows end up kind of saving for the summer.
Okay. So let me ask you this, all right? I'm put you on the spot here. If you could recommend to the people who are listening, whether they're parents or youth workers or anybody else, something to binge watch this summer, what would you recommend? Maybe based on your viewing choices, things you've binge watched in the past, anything in particular, any show?
Oh boy.
I fasten my seatbelt here because I know to ask you this question is always
it depends on the answer. You know, and when my wife and I binge watch something together, it kind of depends on what mood we're in. Are we in the mood for, you know, a sitcom or drama or an action or that kind of thing? But so I know very recently one thing that we saved for the summer, it came out in late spring or so, was the final season of a show that we've watched together, which is New Girl. It's not for everybody, but it follows the life of young adults.
I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, it was a network TV. I couldn't even tell you what channel. Because of DVR, I couldn't even tell you what network it's on.
And I haven't heard of it because there's so many choices.
Sure. And it's not a show for everybody, but there's a certain character I kind of connect with, and if you watched it, you'd understand why.
So I need to watch that and guess who that character is.
Yeah, it wouldn't take you long, I don't think.
Just the oddest person in the cast? Is that what I'm looking for? The quirkiest?
That's part of the show. They're all very quirky, okay. But there's one that's quirky in some similar ways to me.
Oh, boy.
One that makes me laugh regardless. So anyways, it's not the world's best show, but if I need a chuckle, that's a show. The final season of that, it's a shortened, it's only like 6 or 7 episodes, I think. The final season of that was released because they kind of left it in limbo. Are they going to do another season or not? But they wanted to come back and wrap it up. So we've been saving that for that final season for summer watching.
So you're going to watch it? Okay.
Yep.
So you can't. I mean, you're recommending it, but you can't recommend it because you actually haven't seen it yet. But you
not the final season. Okay, I haven't.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm wondering.
It's a goofy show, but it would give you it's not super realistic, but it would give you some sort of insight into, what in the world are these millennials doing nowadays?
Okay.
It would give you a little bit of insight into that kind of mindset.
Okay. So that makes me think what you just said there. What are these millennials doing these days? Because I'm thinking about what Lisa and I binge-watched last summer, which the thought has actually crossed my mind to do it again, but it takes so much time because there's so many episodes over so many seasons. And it was really about what were the baby boomers who were my age doing back in those days, and that's the Wonder Years.
Oh, yes.
Which you've watched, right?
Yes, the voice of Daniel Stern.
Oh, man, that...
It's like he was speaking, exactly what you were thinking. So
yeah, yeah.
And
we've talked about this before, but the thing I can't get over is, there's this connect with me because Kevin Arnold, when it starts the narration, he was 12 years old wasn't it 1968 when it began? 12 years old in 68, which I was 12 in 68. So he was, in effect to my age. The character Kevin Arnold was my age. So it really does parallel my. I think it's great, like youth workers, I still think, that youth workers could watch that and pull clips from that. I've often thought it'd be fun to do adolescent life according to the Wonder Years because you could do some good teaching.
Sure.
Based on that, because while the world has changed, I think many ways that adolescents process the world and the kinds of questions they have, that, of course, hasn't changed. But I think that'd be a good one to watch.
And who didn't have a crush on Winnie Cooper?
Yeah, really. Yeah, yeah. You did, didn't you?
Oh,
did
sure,
we talk?
Sure.
We talked.
We
about
probably
that
talked
before.
About it. At some
yeah,
point. I sure.
Yeah.
Did.
So I've got this thought. I'm just sitting here as we're talking about this, and obviously Jason's not here today. He's on vacation, so he couldn't record with us. We didn't want to pull him away from that. I have no idea where he is or what he's doing. But have you ever thought about what? Jason would binge watch.
What Jason would binge watch? Yeah.
I've got an idea. I mean, what do you think? What do you think? Let's answer for him. He's not here.
Yeah, I'd probably default towards like some kind of Marvel superhero, comic book type show. But
you're much kinder.
But
than
I don't
I
even
am.
Know which of those shows exist really to name them by by name.
You're much kinder than I am because I'm thinking he'd be watching like QVC or the Home Shopping Network. because of all his fashion.
Yeah.
His fashion concerns. Yeah, so Jason, if you're listening, you don't have an opportunity to comment here. We've made this decision for you, but if you want to come back, circle back to this at some point as we slander you, feel free to do so. Yeah. Hey, so today we're going to talk about networking, and we're going to talk about networking in youth ministry to someone who's done it for several years. I think a lot about our friend Travis Deans, and I actually think this is important because before we start to talk to Travis, I was trying to rewind last night when I was thinking about this today to my involvement in youth networks. And so when I was first in youth ministry in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, I don't really know that. I don't remember really networking well, but then I remember leaving seminary in 1985, going to Philadelphia, and in the fall of 85, being invited to a youth network meeting. And I had never been to one before. And they invited me. I still remember this. It was in Glenside, Pennsylvania. It was a weekday morning, early for breakfast, at a Howard Johnson's restaurant. And they used to have – do you remember Howard Johnson's?
Hojo.
Are they still around?
Were they the ones with the orange roof?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I don't know if they're still around, but I remember.
I see Howard Johnson's buildings in certain places.
But they don't say Howard Johnson.
Right, they've been repurposed. I don't know what they are now. But it's like, yeah, there's certain buildings, you know, from your childhood that you know that the company doesn't exist anymore. But you go, yeah, I remember when that was, you know. Another one like that was, do you remember Robert Hall?
No, that's not.
Oh, that was a clothing store. If I drive through a town and I see, it's a really interesting building design. Anybody remembers Robert Hall?
And you can tell that that's what that used to be.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. It had double doors, double glass doors in the front, and then no windows you could look out of. It was the wall, and then a bank of windows real high, and then the roof, you know, and I remember that's Robert Hall. But so Howard Johnson, remember, so I go to this Howard Johnson's in Glenside, Pennsylvania, and I don't know if you remember the floor plan of Howard Johnson's. They were all the same. But if you go in and turn to the left and go to the back, there's like an extra room back there that can be incorporated into the entire restaurant if the folding curtain
is open. Those plastic
church
dividers.
Yeah, church. Remember, you take one big room, turn it into 20 Sunday school rooms. So if it's open, it's part of the restaurant. If it's not, you can have your private meeting room. We were back in there, and I remember about 30 or 40 guys for this Montgomery County, Northeast Philadelphia Suburban Youth Network. And I went in there, and somebody came up, introduced themselves to me, and then this other guy comes up to me, this bald guy with glasses, and it's Duffy Robbins, puts his hand out and says, I had heard of Duffy at the time, you know, and he says, hey, I'm Duffy Robbins, who are you? And I said, Walt Mueller. He goes, are you new? Yeah. Where are you from? And he was teaching youth ministry at Eastern University. It just, you know, probably was about 6-7 years into it at that point. And he then says, when did you move here? I said, I just came here. I just finished up seminary. He goes, seminary? Where'd you go to seminary? Well, I said, Gordon Conwell. Of course, he lights up. Gordon Conwell, that's where I went to school. And we had this instant connect. And, you know, part of the story is Duffy became one of my best friends in the whole world.
I was going to say, you've been regretting going to that meeting for the rest of your life.
No, it was awesome because Duffy and Maggie have become great friends of ours. He's a friend. He's a coworker. He's a mentor. He works with us here at CPYU. He's one of my trusted, you know, handful of go-to guys. So I had that. I brought that out of that.
There we go. The power of networking.
The power of networking. You might get a lifelong friend. So I had that came out of that. But the other thing was there were four other guys in our local community there who were from a variety of different denominations. We were all Presbyterian, but different across the spectrum of Presbyterian denominations. And we wound up establishing really what was a five-year, six-year relationship where we did joint ministry efforts, you know, group things that we never could have done on our own, and that allowed our kids to see, hey, there's other kids who are followers of Christ except just the kids in our youth group. And I just treasure those, you know, those times. And I remember those guys, you know, dearly. I remember our meetings where we'd plan things, and I remember we would divide up responsibilities and do these things. And it was awesome. It really helped my ministry, and I learned so much from them. It wasn't just doing things together. It was learning from them. So I'm excited to have this conversation today about networks, youth ministry networks, and the power of networking. And we're going to invite Travis Deans to come in after we take a short break here. So stick with us. We'll be right back. We're excited to announce that one of our most popular CPYU resources of all time has just been released in an updated and revised format. Tens of thousands of kids have been trained by their parents and youth workers to think Christianly about music and media with our How to Use Your Head to Guard Your Heart 3D Guide to Making Wise Media Choices. This easy-to-use teaching tool needs to be in your youth ministry toolbox if you desire to teach your students to integrate their faith into all of life. Jesus calls us to follow Him, and that includes following Him into the 6 to 9 hours a day of screen time that shape and mold the beliefs and behaviors of our kids. To learn more about our 3D Media Evaluation Guide and to order a copy for every member of your youth group, go to our website at cpyu.org. Teach your kids to engage with media to the glory of God. Well, Chris Wagner and I have a little bit of shared background, although we're from different generations. We both have spent a good amount of time in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Huh, Chris? You lived there for a while, right?
Yep, I spent about 10 years there.
And you were in the, for Pittsburgh folks, you were in the Cranberry area, Butler area.
Yep, Butler Township, Cranberry
Seneca,
Township.
Seneca Valley School
Butler
District.
County, yeah.
Okay, Seneca Valley School District.
Yep, that's where I graduated high school.
Okay, and see, so I know Pittsburgh because I went to college there, Geneva College, 4 years at Geneva, 1974 to 78, coming up on my 40th reunion.
How about that?
That's where you go back and everybody looks at everybody else and says, who are you? You know, and then you hear people talk and then you're going, okay, I know that's you. You're in there somewhere, but man, you don't look like you used to. But so I spent 4 years there. And once I graduated, then I went to work with an organization that at the time, Coalition for Christian Outreach, was based, it still is based in Pittsburgh, but was doing college campus ministry only within about a 250-mile radius of Pittsburgh. They've expanded much further beyond
there. Sure have, yeah.
So I got to stay in western Pennsylvania with the Coalition for Christian Outreach in Johnstown and did youth ministry in Johnstown, then campus ministry at the University of Pittsburgh. And one of the things that really struck me about Pittsburgh, and I don't know, because you had youth group. You were in youth group, right, when you were in Pittsburgh?
Correct.
So one of the things that struck me about the Pittsburgh area was how well, at that point in time, the late 70s, ministries were networked. Guys like John Guest, who was at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church, would come over from England at the invitation of, you know, guys like R.C. Sproul and, man, I'm trying to remember who some, Reed Carpenter and others with the Pittsburgh Leadership Foundation had really done a good job in networking. And when I left Pittsburgh and I went up to New England, it really came to life for me how networked people were and how great it was to see ministries networked. And in the 40 years since then, Pittsburgh has really gone through a rebirth. Culturally, I think spiritually, things are very alive there, and it's really fun to see what's happening. So, you know, you've noticed that since when you go back?
Yeah, well, after I graduated, I left for a brief period of time and then went back to the Pittsburgh area, like similar to you, went to Geneva and studied youth ministry at Geneva College. So in my time there, you know, definitely opened my eyes to realizing how, like you're saying, how networked they were. And to be honest, because I was young and you know, not very traveled, and I didn't realize that other cities weren't as connected. I didn't realize how special, in a sense, that was, how much of an advantage that was to being in youth ministry and having, you know, that kind of, active network. I didn't realize that that wasn't the norm. So that's one of the things we definitely want to talk about today.
Yeah, and so, you know, in the years since then, as I've reconnected with folks in Pittsburgh, I haven't lived there. You know, my mother-in-law, my wife's family was in Johnstown. When I go back, you know, I do connect with some of the folks in the network, and I've had opportunities to go back and be a part of events that they have there, youth ministry and parent events. But one of the names that always comes up when you think about Pittsburgh and youth ministry is Travis Deans.
Yes.
And I always say Travis is probably the biggest go-getter that I know in terms of networking and making things happen. And now that I'm on social media, you know, and Travis is my friend on Facebook, but his name is constantly popping up, and he's, you know, trying to find somebody to connect with kids over here, or he's got an event happening over there. So we thought, what a great idea. Let's bring Travis on, because Travis not only knows a lot about networking, but he's doing it. And so Travis is here with us. Travis, thanks for being a part of this.
Sure, my pleasure.
Thanks for networking with us.
Yes.
It's awesome to have you on here. So, and I always think to myself, you know, if someone has a need for someone to help with publicity or make things happen, I always think to myself, man, I got to get him in touch with Travis, because he does that so well in Pittsburgh. He has such a heart, not just for ministry and youth ministry, but a real heart for networking. And Travis, what are you doing now? Tell us about, you know, the church you're at and the other things that fill your time.
Sure. So I'm a part-time youth pastor at a local Christian Missionary Alliance church. I live about an hour south of the city. So my church is just 5 minutes away from my house. But I also work with a ministry called Teens for Christ. We help students start Bible clubs in their high schools. And so that's a big part of what I do. And then for a number of years now, I have been the contact guy, the coordinator for the National Network of Youth Ministries for Western Pennsylvania. And so we help in that role, promote and facilitate youth ministry networking. And it is fun to connect with and work with youth pastors in this region. And you guys both mentioned Geneva College. About half the youth pastors I work with went to Geneva. So, those are kind of the three big things that I do.
Great. And now I just got to ask about this because you actually, I love when I travel to meet people and I say, like, you know, where are you from? And they come up with these names. Like we've talked about this, Chris. I was in Minot, North Dakota to speak at a banquet a while ago, and I'm sitting next to some people and I asked them where they're from. And they said, we're from a little town, and the population is about 12 now. So that's little. But a little town called Antler. And you actually went to a high school. What was the name of your high school?
My high school was Turkeyfoot.
Turkeyfoot High
Valley
School.
Valley Area what? High School, yes.
Turkeyfoot.
Well, it's okay, a real so place.
The Valley helps, but how did it get that name, Turkeyfoot? Because I love these stories, too.
Well, listen, it's a great story. A very distinguished individual, George Washington, thought that the two rivers in a creek that came together in Confluence, Pennsylvania, looked like a turkey's foot. And so that's how it got its name. there's actually an upper Turkeyfoot and lower Turkeyfoot Township, which are form the school district. And the Youghiogheny River Lake is there in that right in that community, and which goes on down to Pittsburgh, of course. Yes, that's my claim to fame, Turkeyfoot High School.
Yeah. Well, you actually redeemed that because I thought there'd be a better story. But if anyone ever mentions George Washington, I'll just have to remember that. If there's anything I say, well, this happens a lot, that people kind of chuckle and say, well, you know George Washington. And that just would redeem it. So that's great. Okay, good. Well, I want to talk a bit about networking because I really think, Travis, that you've got some experience and the folks in Pittsburgh have great experience. So we're going to let you speak on behalf of them as an ambassador to talk about some of the ways that networking's great. Let me start with this question. You know, for a youth worker, why networking? Why networking? I mean, why is it so important to network?
Sure, absolutely. Well, there's so many reasons, but of course, in a way, there's a lot of reasons for this too, but in a way it runs against the grain. You know, it's not the first thing youth pastors think about when they come to a church or start working at a church generally, but it really should be because, and this is a big one, for one thing, nothing is going to help your longevity in youth ministry or probably any kind of ministry than networking. You know, being connected with others who do what you do, share the passion that you have, struggle with the same problems that you struggle with, there's just nothing like connecting with people who are in that same, type of ministry, that same type of work, to encourage you and strengthen you for the challenges you're going to face. And, you know, for those who come into youth ministry straight out of college, you know, I was talking with a buddy the other day, you know, I don't know what they do now, but when I went to Bible college, we were not prepared at all for the realities of ministry in the local church, the challenges that were going to come. But it just makes such a big difference to know that, you know, you have allies around you. You really have a team around you. You're just not necessarily aware of it, but there is a team around you of people who love doing what you love to do, but also are, you know, facing those same kind of challenges. And of course, the internet has really helped with connecting people, and so you can network that way easily and effectively. However, You know, when you move to a community, you know, whether it's one of the neighborhoods around the city of Pittsburgh or, you know, a small town or a, you know, whatever city around the country you're in, when you move to a new place and you want to connect, there's things about that area that are unique to that area. And so you can spend, you know, the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years trying to learn all you can about that area, or you can go to people who have already been there and are working there and say, hey, what do I need to know? Give me the inside scoop on this geographic location. What's going to help me do youth ministry in this area? You know, what are the resources? Who are the movers and shakers that I need to connect with? What's the school system like? You know, networking and not only helps your longevity, but I think increases your effectiveness by, you know, just giving you a knowledge base that would take years to gain on your own. And you know, there's things you can learn from your own church, of course, but I find that a lot of times churches, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I find the churches sometimes seem to be insulated, you know, you don't get the whole picture from talking to people at one church, you know, the whole what's happening in a community, what's the spiritual and, you know, the ministry history of a community. You need to connect with others who can give you a fuller picture of what, you know, what types of things have been done in this area, what's not been done in this area, what are needs that need met in this area. And so the networking ought to be, I mean, not to be among your colleagues in ministry, but of course you want to expand beyond that too. You want to network with other agencies that work with kids and the school system. I always encourage youth pastors to connect with the principal at the local school and you know, don't go there as the expert. Go there and recognize them as the experts and ask them about their expertise on the subject of students, and they'll give you a lot of information.
Yeah.
But so there's so many reasons. But
yeah, you said a couple of things I want to ask you about. So you talked about being a young youth worker and coming out of Bible college. I remember coming out of college, you know, and you're 21, 22 years old in youth ministry. And look, I'll speak for myself. There's a certain bit of maybe pride and arrogance. I see it as that now that, you know, I'm closer in age than kids. I can do this a lot better than parents can do it. I certainly know a lot more about kids because I'm close in age than a senior pastor or a church board, an elder board would. And, but yet at the same, so we think we know what we're doing, but at the same time, you said, you know, we basically have no clue. And, you know, that's where I think a network, this really struck me because you said it kind of goes against the grain, and I'm thinking, okay, culturally, in terms of church culture, we tend to be pretty parochial, and there's this unspoken competitiveness between churches. So why would I as a youth pastor want to partner in a network with the guy down the street when we're actually trying to get kids here rather than there? I hope we've moved beyond that in our youth ministry world. I know that's still there. But there's that thing, but also, and you triggered this thought for me, triggered in a good way, by the way, you triggered a thought just about individualism, that as youth workers, I think as young people, and even as older people, we have to realize that in the U.S. right now, in Western culture, individualism is so ingrained in the very fabric of who we are and where we live and how we do things and what we believe. It's a big part of the soup that we swim in every day, and we don't even know it's there. And that that individualistic spirit pushes against networking. And I know we talk a lot about community in the church today. We talk a lot about community as a buzzword, and we need community. When we look at the scriptures, we see that, the beauty of the body of Christ and working together and using our gifts and abilities. But I think sometimes we talk about it more than we live it, because sometimes that individualism basically takes over and you know, shadows that or trumps that, we would say. And we tend to maybe default towards individualism rather than networking. So I love what you're saying here. And I say that just in a biographical manner, you know, a human nature manner, and then also the fact that our culture today – especially for those who have grown up in more of this individualistic culture, pushes us towards that. So, you know, so to youth workers, I would say overcome that and do what Travis is suggesting here, because you've certainly listed a lot of the benefits. I want to ask you about longevity here, because you mentioned that, you know, the key to longevity is networking. Work that out a little more for us, because there are certain aspects of that which I've seen over the years have been really helpful to me. I often say, you know, I'm going to be 62 this summer, and I feel like I've just begun. I hope I have a lot more longevity. I plan on that. But I default in my networks to older people, to wiser people. The older I get, the more I'm running out of those folks, obviously. But even, you know, those who have gone before us who aren't living, you know, they have a lot to say to us through what they've written and such. Have you seen how have you seen this work itself out in Pittsburgh? I don't know if you can think of some examples. I don't want you to say names and say, well, there's this old guy. Well, maybe that'd be good. I don't know. It'd be fun to hear that. But
well, yeah. I can actually think of a number of older guys who are still in youth ministry. And in fact, at the Pittsburgh Kids Network meetings that we have, they're the first Fridays of each month. And it's a fantastic opportunity for youth pastors in the city and in the region to connect with each other. There's usually 50 or 60 that come together. But over the years, we've had a number of those older youth pastors, you know, speak to the group. And there's something powerful. There's something powerful about hearing that voice of wisdom and experience. And yeah, you know, like it or not, our churches, you know, there is such a thing as church politics. You know, navigating that well, navigating that with humility and with wisdom and with even with shrewdness, you know, it really helps to have the voice of experienced people, you know, to guide you through that. One of the things that is common in our area, and I'm sure this is true of other areas too, but we have, well, quite a few of my youth ministry friends are now senior pastors. And so it's been, you know, not only are there the older youth pastors, but there are senior pastors who are able to give wise advice to younger guys. You know, hey, here's, you know, you want to get along with your senior pastor? I've been on both sides of this thing. Here's what you need to do. So just, yeah, I mean, the benefits of connecting and learning are just immense. I don't know how many youth pastors I've seen come and go. I mean, I've been doing this over 20 years, and you know, just again and again. I mean, you know, just sometimes it feels like a rotating door, because, and I think in a large degree because of just the lack of willingness to reach out and learn. That, you know, there's book learning and there's experience learning, and we all know those are two different things. And you gain experience learning either by your own experiences, which is good, or by listening humbly to the experiences of others. So I would encourage all young youth pastors to find those older voices, because you're going to need them.
I like that. One of my favorite quotes is from Francis Bacon, and he said a long time ago, he said, histories make men wise. Now, there's some wisdom he's passed down, but he's also saying in that piece of wisdom that he's passed down that we need to study history. And that's just not world history or U.S. history. It's church history. You know, that keeps us from error and on the right track. But in youth ministry, it's the history of those who have gone before us, the living and dead, and their experiences. You know, what have you done right? What have you done wrong? And yeah, what have you learned from that? Help me do the right things and avoid the other things. So I think just having that kind of support, because you do, you know, the other part of it is that you're new in a church, and if you've never done this before, you can, and even if you have done it for a while, you can feel really alone. So to have a place to go to just vent and ask questions and have someone speak truth into your life is a good thing. So we're talking to Travis Deans. Travis is out in the Pittsburgh area. The folks out there in youth ministry are so well networked. I know they would say they don't do it perfectly, but as Chris and I said at the beginning here, we look at them and we say they're doing it right. And if they're not doing it totally right, they're moving towards that. So we're going to take a break here, come back and talk to Travis some more about the power of networking and hear a little bit about some of the specific things that they're doing in Pittsburgh that maybe we could emulate and try to do where we are as we work to establish networks to increase our effectiveness in youth ministry. Stick with us. Here at CPYU, we want to help you help parents stay up to date on today's youth culture. One of our most popular resources is our monthly parent page. This four-page, full-color resource offers parents a timely, practical look into current youth culture trends, along with resources to help them parent their children and teens Christianly in today's rapidly changing youth culture. If you're a youth worker who would like to get this monthly resource into the hands of your parents, you can see a sample parent page and learn more by visiting cpyuparentpage.com. Travis Deans is joining us from, how far are you south of Pittsburgh again? What'd you say, about 30?
About an hour.
About an hour south of Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
and
with traffic.
You're almost to West Virginia, huh? Or is Maryland?
Almost, yeah.
West Virginia or Maryland?
West Virginia.
Okay,
yep.
West Virginia. So Travis is out there, and he's been doing a lot of work in the Pittsburgh area in terms of networking folks, a lot of events, a lot of trainings, a lot of student things. And as I said before, you know, I track with Travis on Facebook, and it's always fun. I know what's happening in Pittsburgh because of Travis, and I can only imagine how much the folks in Pittsburgh depend on Travis to stay networked. But Travis is involved as well, he mentioned earlier, with the National Network for Youth Ministries. It's been around since, as we were talking during the break, 1981. Paul Fleischman began that. I remember that, Travis, because I would get these, I think it was a quarterly, these resource boxes that the National Network did, which for a youth worker was just gold. You know, there was no internet back then. So
right,
we
yep.
would wait for these boxes, and there would be books and, you know, music. I think early on, some of it was cassette tapes even. For those who are younger, you got to Google that. What's a cassette tape? But we would get, you know, they would work to resource us, and then they were starting, you know, local networks and things. Travis wrote, he was telling us during the break, he wrote an article for their magazine a few years ago. We'll include a link to it called From Competing to Completing. Tell us a little bit about that, Travis, and what you were trying to communicate to youth workers there.
Yeah, sure. So the idea was, how do we look at ourselves as churches? And, you know, some churches are, you know, really willing to connect with other churches around them. Some churches, you know, think they are the only church. and that sounds crazy, but for all practical purposes, they just do their thing and that's all they do. So I read this article with the idea, you know, trying to encourage us to look at other churches in a new way. And generally, and you hinted at this earlier, that, you know, there's a little bit of this unspoken competition between churches. And competition is not all bad, because competition certainly challenges us to be better. You know, it spurs us on to do our best. And so in that sense, you know, there's a sense that, you know, competition between churches could be good, just in the sense of, hey, let's be the best church that we can be. However, in the body, when God looks at the body of Christ, you know, he does not look at a community and see many churches. I think that God looks at a community, at a city, and sees one church that meets in a number of different buildings. And, you know, if you look at the Old Testament, you know, when Paul wrote the letters of the Old Testament, he was always writing to the church of this city or that city.
Just to correct you there, you meant the New Testament.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, you said Old Testament. Because, and I know that's what you meant, but we've got some listeners that'll just tune out right then because they're going, well, who is this guy? What is he talking about? That's funny.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, that's good.
But still, when
that's
Paul writes his letters, he's always writing to the church of this city or that city. And in the book of Revelation, you know, it's the church of, you know, the seven churches of those different cities. And so I think that, you know, God looks at our communities and he sees one church, not a bunch of different churches. But, you know, because of the Protestant Reformation, which I think was a necessary event, but the over the past 400 years the church has splintered into so many pieces, and so but I don't think those pieces are all bad. I think that our different denominations give us aspects of theology and methodology that are fantastic. It's just if we put the pieces of the puzzle together, we come up with a more complete picture. And so if, in your community, if you're thinking about, what is the spiritual picture here, you have to have all the puzzle pieces. You have to have, all of the churches in that community matter. The churches that are preaching the gospel, the churches that are true to the word of God, of course. But all of those churches matter in God's plan for that community. And so in the article, just encourage churches to, to not see each other as competition, but to, begin to communicate with each other. Hey, let's get together. Let's talk. Let's pray together. And I've seen incredible things come out of pastors and youth pastors praying together. And if that's all you do, that alone is powerful, and amazing things happen just by praying together. But, beyond that, there's, things that you can cooperate on, collaborate on. And we've seen networks of youth pastors have done incredible things in this area because they've collaborated, they've worked together. I'll get into a couple of those in a moment. But and the final thing was just, having this attitude of we need each other. We cannot accomplish all of God's purposes for reaching this community or this city without each other. And that's a really different way of looking at it. But I think that's part of the ineffectiveness of the church in our culture today is in part because we're so fractured. We are so at odds with each other that it's kind of no wonder that we're losing the culture and losing a generation here. If the church were a corporation, we'd be losing money like crazy.
But that's all right. I want to spring off on something, and I love the way you keep talking, because this is an indicator of your passion for this, and this is why we had you on. I think that's the key to this, to become passionate about these things. Let me share this. When I travel, you said something that sparked a thought here. So when I travel and I speak at an event in a community, which is, a big part of what we do here at CPYU, I find that typically the scale will tip towards better passion and encouragement and response on the part of the people who are having me in if it has been planned as a result of the cooperative work of a network. So a group of youth workers, a group of churches, a group of community organizations have come together and said, we need to address how to think Christianly about music and media. Let's bring CPYU in. Or we need to think about, digital technology and how to train our kids to, be digital disciples. Let's bring CPYU. So no matter what the topic is, sex, sexuality, whatever, if it is a group, typically more often than not, they do a much better job of preparing people and getting people there and then doing the follow-up. The necessary work of follow-up to make sure it's not just a one-time event. Now, granted, there are times that individual churches do a phenomenal job. But I'm just saying, as an observation, non-scientific, I'm just, kind of going through the Rolodex in my head of, the file drawer in my head of the places I've been over the years, that what you're saying is so much more true where there's a network. So let's spring off of that, and I want to hear some of the practical nuts and bolts things that have been happening in the Pittsburgh area. If you can, rifle through those and tell us what some of those things are, and longstanding events and longstanding things that you've done together in the network, and then maybe there's some new things on the horizon that you folks are brainstorming about. And I know a lot of your people out there, and they are energetic and they are passionate about this. So go ahead, fire away.
Sure. Yeah. Well, just that, you know, as a general principle, you know, when it, and every event I've ever done, you know, collaboratively, you know, comes back to this principle that, you know, people support what they help create. And that was something I learned from, you know, the National Network, years ago. And so anytime, you know, a youth pastor has had an idea, but they couldn't do it on their own, you know, hey, let's meet with a couple other guys, run this by them, see if they want to get in on it and make it happen. And, I've seen guys over and over again do things together that they couldn't do on their own. One of the things that I love is when we've brought, school assembly programs, to the area. And, you know, a large church could do that on their own and it would go well, but we've had a number of churches that, you know, God has given them a connection or a resource in terms of somebody they could bring. The Seven Project is one of those. It's their office is kind of out your way there, Walt. But we've had them in a couple of times. And in one instance, we had a youth pastor that his church was it was a smaller church, but he really felt called of God to bring this school assembly program to the local high school. And but it was going to cost, you know, $6,000 or $7,000. And so we met with a number of youth pastors, and then we also met with the principal, and the principal was a no-go on it. She didn't want to do it, but we talked with the Bible club at the high school about this idea. They took it to one of their guidance counselors or a vice principal or something, and I guess because the students wanted it, the principal said, okay, let's do this. And she called up that youth pastor and said, when can we make this happen? How soon? And so we went back to the network and said, hey, the principal of this high school, which this high school is the largest high school in their county, you know, she wants to bring this school assembly program. It's going to cost this much. Could each of your churches chip in $500? And within a couple of weeks, we had, you know, $6,000 or $7,000 raised. And no one church could have or would have done that. But, you know, what I don't know, it was 10 or 12 churches that did it. And that was the easiest $6,000 I've ever raised. It was amazing. But it was, you know, that was a cooperation between students, youth pastors, the principal, senior, you know, it was a very large scale collaboration. And the night, so they came and they did the school assembly. And then there was an evening outreach at the high school that night. With a former Harlem Globetrotter and a skateboarding guy, and they did a lot of multimedia stuff. But they had a very clear presentation of the gospel, and 100 students came forward and gave their lives to Christ. And the local churches followed up on those students, invited them to their youth groups, and so that's one big example. But there's so many other things, like the Pittsburgh Kids Network does a summer camp. Called Surf City. They do a fall retreat called Laurelville, which is those two things have been going on for years and years, and churches just count on those as, you know, hey, here's something that the network provides that we can bring our students to. We don't have to plan it or make it happen. We can just bring students, and they can we can enjoy hanging out with our students because someone else has taken care of the programming and the logistics. Anytime we've done, trainings, like we did the Hope and Healing seminar with you several years ago. And I think you did a youth culture, seminar in the South Hills.
Oh yeah. Yeah. A couple times.
You remember that?
Bible Chapel, South Hills Bible Chapel.
Yeah. And also I'm thinking of one at Mount Lebanon Presbyterian
yep.
Church
yep.
where I think that would have been a very small event, but they reached out, to the larger network, and communication was went out all over the Pittsburgh region as a result of that. And so a lot of those smaller trainings have resulted in a larger event that we're doing now called the Pittsburgh Youth Workers Conference, and which you spoke at several years ago, Walt, which was fantastic. We're coming up on our fifth year now, and that has totally been the result of youth pastors connecting and collaborating. In fact, we feature local youth pastors as the breakout presenters. But it's been exciting. It's been exciting to have a homegrown youth ministry conference.
You get how many people at that? Not that numbers are important, but I think it's significant to show the reach of the network. I mean, you've had several 250. Hundred there, right? It's a vibrant, lively event. Fueled, if I remember, by Chick-fil-A, right?
Don't you have that for lunch?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what, Christian chicken just gets youth workers hepped up all the time. So,
absolutely. Yeah. That's another example of networking.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's the kind of thing where you tap into a local business as well.
Absolutely.
To ask questions like that of folks, you know, there are people who have a heart for these things who, as a network, if you just ask, you know, they'll get behind you. So there's an example of that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Any other types of events that you've done? I know I've seen things about Pirates games or, you know, I mean, you've tapped into the other things that are happening in the faith community there. And use the network to promote those.
Well, the Pittsburgh Kids Network guy, Brad Henderson, he's also the chaplain for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And so every year, recent years, the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, they have done a faith night. And so Brad and his wife, Beth, they've both been an integral part of that Pittsburgh Pirates faith night. And so... You know, that's not a youth pastor collaboration event so much as it is, you know, just a citywide opportunity. And but you know, it really, you know, youth pastors bringing their groups to that have made it quite a successful thing. I think a couple years ago they had 12,000 people that stayed afterwards for that, and you know, and it was in part to youth pastors supporting what our network leader had invited us to and to be part of, and you know, communicating that with people. So that's been very exciting to have that the last few years. But there's been so many other things. We've done a number of back in the day we did True Love Waits purity events back in the early years when I was involved in this, bringing concerts to the area. We've had a lot of concerts come that were a result of churches working together. One of my favorite events that we do is our See You at the Pole event in September called Ignition. And, you know, the whole idea there is to, you know, challenge and equip students to think of their school as if it's a mission field and as if they are missionaries, that God is sending them to this place to share the love of God with their fellow students. And that was real. That was the idea of a youth pastor in Murraysville. He wanted to do something big and, at the beginning of the school year for his students, but he didn't have all the resources he needed. So I remember the lunch meeting where we met and, hey, let's get these other churches involved. And, you know, what began as a single community event, you know, is now a regional event that happens two nights on the east side and the south side of the city. And so, you know, it's networking is powerful. There's no limit to what God can do when his people come together.
Quick question then. So someone who's listening, who's not in a network, there's no network in their area. What are some steps that they can take to get a network started in their area?
Sure. Well, it's very simple. I mean, it's as easy as in calling someone up and saying, can we do lunch? And don't go to somewhere lame. You know, if you're going to do lunch, go somewhere good, right? Go somewhere where the food is really good. But you know, just do lunch and pray together and pray for each other. And then, you know, maybe call up a couple other guys. Hey, let's call someone else and get them involved. And there's a guy down the street or a gal over here. Let's call them and see if they want to join us. The network we have in Pittsburgh is fairly elaborate. I mean, it's its own 501c3 nonprofit foundation. It's quite an enterprise, but networking can be as simple as, hey, let's do lunch once a month. The first Thursday of the month, let's get together and talk about how things are going and what's happening. The National Network of Youth Ministries has this kind of I don't know what they call it, a matrix of networking ideals, purposes, you know, at sharing resources, praying together, strategic and working together. And, you know, there's just a, you know, there's a few key things that you can do on a very simple level, or as, you know, the longer you meet, maybe you do it on a more elaborate level. We have, you mentioned Johnstown, Walt, and there's something very exciting going on in Johnstown right now. There's a group of youth pastors who in the fall and in the spring, they do 3 weeks in a row of youth group together. So they'll pick 3 Wednesdays in a row in the fall, 3 Wednesdays in the spring, and all the churches in the Johnstown area meet together for worship and a speaker or prayer. And then, you know, they get several hundred students together at a local high school or a local church. It's amazing what they're doing.
I think, you know, it's interesting because I've tracked with that. I think one of the guys who's spearheading that is Jeremy Barkley.
Right, yes.
You know Jeremy, and Jeremy is –
sure, yeah.
He's actually at the church that I served as a youth pastor from 78 to 81. So,
okay.
Yeah, he. I just saw he let me know. He sent me a picture, and I said, "What is that a picture of?" He says, "That's our new youth room." So I think they'd been in the same place since I was there, and probably the same old cast-off furniture and all those other things. So it was fun sure. to connect with him and hear a little bit about that. Just before we finish up here, with the national network, talk about that. Folks can go on the website, right? Is it nnym.org?
Yes, you can go there or youthworkers.net.
Okay.
And they've just recently they completely redid the website. It's totally brand new, and it looks really sharp. But it's a very helpful tool. You know, wherever you are in the country, you can type in where you are, you know, zip code or town or whatever, and find a network of youth pastors near you.
Right.
And so, you know, if you're already part of a network, you should list your network on the website, because when someone moves to town, you know, if they've been a part of a network somewhere else, they're going to go on their website, youthworkers.net, and they're going to look, is there a network here in my town, and try to find it. So yeah, that's the best way to connect anywhere in the country.
Yeah, and if there is not a network, what I would suggest if you go on there is find out who the regional coordinator for NNYM is and contact them. So, right, you're in Western PA, and you're the coordinator there, correct?
Right, yeah.
So you could pull people in. I'm thinking of guys like Wayne Morgan, who are up in the northeast part of our state here in Pennsylvania, Dan Istvanik, who is local here in Lancaster, who got some things started this year. They meet monthly. They always have a topic when they meet. They'll sometimes bring guests in to lead a discussion. The meetings are short, an hour and a half, but they're doing, you know, great, great work. So this
sure.
is good. This is good. Travis, the last thing I want to ask you, and thanks for talking about this, are there any resources other than what we've mentioned already, you know, online, the National Network, the article you've written, which for the National Network magazine, which we'll link to. Is there anything else that you've found helpful personally as a resource that's helped enhance your ability to network, your understanding of networking, and, you know, how to have a network? I mean, are there books or there, you know, anything at all?
Well, the guy who's the founder of the National Network of Youth Ministries, Paul Fleshman, he probably wrote would be the definitive book on the subject called Better Together. And that book, it's not a hard read. It's a quick read, but he's pulled together the best of the best knowledge and you know, wisdom over, you know, the past 30 years of, you know, networking. That's where I would start for sure.
Yeah, there's one together. Of those older and wiser guys, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. How many youth workers are still in youth ministry because of him? And, you know, how many, you know, students have lives have been impacted because, you know, I just don't even know. He's going to have a big crown in heaven, I think. So,
yeah.
But that's a good place to start.
Good, good. Well, we've been chatting with Travis Deans about networking, and if you're listening, again, we would remind you, if you've got a network, as Travis said, and it's not registered with a National Network of Youth Ministries, not that it makes things official, but it's just helpful for folks to connect. Go ahead and do that. If you're new to your community, try to find out if there is a network. Go to the website for National Network of Youth Ministries and search your area. Maybe find, if there's no network, find the coordinator in the area, talk to them. Maybe you can be the one who spearheads getting that started. So Travis is living, breathing, walking proof of the power of networking, and he's just one of many representatives who have done this well, not just across the country, but in particular in the Pittsburgh area where Chris and I, we said at the top, you know, very impressed with what's happening there. So, Travis, thank you. If you folks are listening and you're not listening, if you're listening through some sort of podcast platform, you may want to go to our cpyu.org homepage, click on the page for this episode of the podcast, Youth Culture Matters, and everything we've mentioned and more will be listed there with links that will make it easy for you to tap into the resources that we've mentioned here today. So, Travis, thanks so much.
Yes, thank you, Walt. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Good to be with you.
And should I say this? I mean, at the end, like we always harass about, we always get some sports things in there. Should I just say this? Go Phillies? That's not going to work well, is it?
No.
Okay, all right. Thank you. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time on the next episode of Youth Culture Matters.
Thanks for joining us for Youth Culture Matters, a podcast from the Center for Parent Youth Understanding. If you'd like to learn more about today's youth culture, visit our website at cpyu.org. And if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, email us at podcast@cpyu.org.